All right. Good evening. It looks do we have most everybody that we're going to need to have on here? Because I just realized I'll be filling in for Scott Newton, who's alternate for Pismo. Who's back in his chair, or do we have a chair in who's present?
I think the chair was Councilmember Bright, and she's been replaced in Grover by Anna Miller.
Okay.
Who I don't see here.
I also, yeah, and I also have an old organizational chart. So I was going to do a roll call, but the one that was printed out and provided to me is as of October. So this will be interesting. Hopefully we have a quorum. First off, I'm filling in for Dave Spiegel, our engineer four. I'm Mark Cherimani, the utilities division manager. I'm sure you're all aware, probably provided information he wasn't going to be at this meeting. And so I think I'm not even sure if we're going to have, we have Shirley Gibson, O'Reilly, Barb, we have three.
Can't get my camera up for some reason, but I'm here. This is Vard.
Yeah, I see Vard, you're on the screen, and then I see a not available waiting for name. Somebody might be on the phone or something. I don't know if that'll give us.
Yeah, I'm on my laptop, but for some reason I can't get the video part to work. Sorry.
Okay, interesting. And then we have, there's Kristen. Okay, well, I think that'll give us a quorum with four. It'd be limited. Hi, Kristen. I'm Mark Cherimani, Utility Division Manager. So we're just making sure we had a quorum before we began.
Okay. Hi there. Yeah, I've never had to go ahead and, all my go-to meeting stuff. It's always just, so I had to re-put everything in for some reason. So anyway, sorry, here I am.
That's all right. I'm going to go ahead and start recording the meeting. And then I'm going to try to share screen. So we have, there's the agenda. How's that showing up on your guys' screen? Can you guys see?
Yeah, it looks good, Mark.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Just making sure I'm on my Surface, so it's a little bit different viewing sometimes. All right. Let's go ahead and call to order. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Zone 3 Advisory Committee meeting this Thursday, May 20th, 2021 at 6:34 p.m. now. And I'll go ahead and do roll call. So it looks like Kristen Barnett is here.
Here.
And then do we have anybody from Grover Beach? No. There's no Pismo Beach members. Scott is on is out. Got that notice earlier this morning. And anybody from Oceano?
Yes, Shirley Gibson.
Shirley. Hi, Shirley.
Hi.
CSA 12. Any agriculture member?
Yep, that's me and Vard. Ekid, I'm here.
Okay. Oh, thank you, Vard. And then at large.
Yes. That's
and
me.
That's Ron Riley, yeah. Sorry, like I said, I'm going off an old org chart. So the one we had an updated one that the one that printed for me was not the updated one. Just make double checking. Okay, so we do have a quorum and roll call. We have four present. Is there any public comment? Any opportunity for members of the public to address the committee on items that are not on the agenda? Not hear anybody from the public. We'll go for approval of the does somebody have something? Okay, sorry, I heard the noise. move forward with the approval of the meeting minutes from March 18th, 2021. That was from the attachment of the agenda.
This is Kristen Barnett. I move for approval.
Ron Riley will second.
Okay, Kristen Ruth. Thank you. All right, and then we'll go through the operations report. I think you've all seen what we had attached.
Sorry, Mark. I
Jenny,
think
are you on? What's that?
I think we have to vote.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm a bad. Okay, all those in favor of approval of the minutes?
Aye.
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 Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ron.
Yeah.
Okay. With that approved, are we ready to move on to the operations report?
Yes.
Jenny, I think Jenny's on the line. Do you have an update, plant operations, reservoir storage, and downstream releases?
I sure do. So for today, the lake elevation is at 476.99. Storage is at 18,310 acre feet. Capacity is at 37%. Rainfall to date is 11.28 inches. Plant production is at 4.9 MGD. State water production is at 0.77 MGD. And downstream release is currently at 3.1 MGD. Any questions?
All right. Thank you, Jenny. And then we had attachments for the productive reservoir levels in March and April at the operations report. Did anybody have any questions as to those? All right, information items. I think we have finance on the line. Sherry, and discuss budget status. Is that something you'd be doing right now? To double check.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Sherry with the finance division. And so can you scroll to that report, Mark?
Yeah.
I have the third quarter budget status report for fiscal year 2021. And this covers from July 1, 2020 through March 31st, 2021. And at the end of the, we're almost there, huh? The end of the third quarter, total expenses. Oh, yeah, so that's the end of it. So we're almost there. Total expenses are 50%. This is for the entire budget, all of the categories. And so we could probably skip down to the graphs maybe. The first graph is routine O&M. And expenses are at 69% of the budget, leaving $1.25 million available for the last 3 months of the fiscal year. And the second graph, non-routine O&M, at the end of March, expenses were 16% of the budget, with $1.4 million remaining. And in this category, unspent budget for most of the efforts will be carried forward to the next fiscal year so that work can be continued. And in the capital outlay section, at the end of the third quarter, expenses were only 13% of the budget, leaving $500,000 available for the remainder of the year. The TAC recently endorsed moving approximately 90 $6,000 from the Fireflow tank repair project in order to complete the carbon dioxide injection system at a total estimate of about $270,000. And at the end of the year, unspent budget will be carried forward to the next fiscal year for most projects, and savings on completed projects will be credited back to the agencies or possibly allocated to other approved projects. All agencies are current on their payments, and the first installment of the fiscal year 21-22 invoices will be mailed by June 1st, and they are due on July 1. Any questions?
Thank you, Sherry. How was that? Were you guys seeing the full, I know you have the agenda, but was that showing up fully on your guys' view of the screen? The whole page? I just wasn't sure because I'm not seeing the whole thing on my end. So I was trying to, I have another laptop up trying to look at everything on both sides. But did you guys have any questions?
The page, it looks like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. Okay. Let's see. Cloud seeding update. That's the season is completed. There was no cloudy seeding events through the month of April that were obviously worthy of continuing the program. At this point, our season's over for that. They're still pursuing the contract changes. You know, Dan's going to provide some updates later on about the urban water management plan. He's been helping with that with WSC. Let's see, 21 water adopted by the Board of Supervisors. So yeah, we did the Board of Supervisor approval for the 2020 fiscal year or water year 2021 surplus water. It was adopted by the Board of Supervisors on May 18th. That has proceeded. And let's see, capital projects update. That. All right, so I can go through these one by one. Otherwise, if you guys have any questions on individual items, you want to follow up on that, please let me know. You guys received the agenda. Are there any questions as to any of the capital project updates or projects that we're currently doing or unbudgeted projects? I think there's a list toward the bottom. I'm going to scroll through those slowly for you guys so you can see them. Okay. I see you zooming in, Kristen. So I just want to make sure you guys can see them all. Go down a little bit here.
I had a question about the cathodic protection repair project.
Yeah.
It says awarding to JDH. Who's that?
I don't know the name of that contractor we went to. I know we had several that went out. And we had Corpro, Far West, JDH. I'm not familiar with.
Was that handled by TAC?
Yes. Yeah. These were all notified to them.
Okay.
This information and approved.
Okay.
And this is part of that large scale project where they're going to do different phases of the water line from different sections of right. The pipeline from the raw water side to the treated water side. Okay. And then upgrading, the existing induced cathodic protection systems that we have on the system.
Right. Okay.
So Mark, just a question on the the geotechnical testing and seismic alternatives study of the terminal reservoir dam. That's kind of a big thing that might eventually cost a bunch of money. So, okay, currently out to bid, and what's out to bid is just the testing of the terminal dam and the design of, let's see, refresh my memory. It's the design for either, because I thought we were either going to redo it or we were going to just get rid of it, right? So the design is to redo it, if that's one of the alternatives. Or do you know, I don't know who to ask that question of, so.
Yeah, that, I don't know the exact, I can get back to you on that as far as what design proportion they're looking at for the RFP. But yes, they are, you know, it's process of elimination. They are doing the initial geotechnical testing mm-hmm. of the terminal reservoir to ensure and follow process from DSOD recommendations that it, you know, we, is it a seismically fit reservoir with the dam right there? And so what we're trying to do is ensure that, you know, we, you know, they're assuming that it's similar geotechnical geology beneath that dam as it would be at the Lopez Dam. And so this is kind of process of elimination on that. So at that point, that'll determine whether, how we proceed, if it's going to require a full retrofit or minor repairs or complete elimination of, you know, the terminal reservoir itself. So this geotechnical study is going to provide us the options that we're looking for. So it's one step at a time. And then once we determine that, sorry, go ahead.
No. So, and then the 89,000, that's total for just the testing and that's not per agency. That's just total, correct?
Correct. That's the total for the geotechnical testing. Then obviously the project, we're not sure,
right,
you know, how large of a project, multi-million dollar project that potentially could be, yeah, depending on what we find with this geotechnical data.
Yeah.
But okay. DSOD did want to ensure that we're proceeding on this process because, you know, from their recommendations, you know, we would be maintaining lower reservoir levels at the terminal reservoir, mm-hmm. and the hydraulically that can limit the capacity of the water treatment plant. And so right now we're trying to do our due diligence and get through this process while communicating with DSOD of what we're proceeding on to, you know, follow what they're recommending, as well as maintaining hydraulic capacity of our treatment facility.
Okay, thank you, Mark. I don't have any further questions on this.
Yeah, sorry. And if there's any, you know, if you guys do have more questions, you have, I think you do have our emails or Dave's. If I'm not able to answer them fully, we can get those answers for you and get back to you on that.
So this is Sherry. I do know that on the spillway structural assessment, so the 89,000 correctly has already been billed, and there's 500,000 in the 21-22 proposed budget, and that's going to be funded by district reserves. It's not going to be paid for by the agencies in their billing. So, but you will see 589,000 in the budget next year.
Okay, so Sherry, the 589,000. Tell me again what that's for.
That's for the the spillway project that you were just discussing.
Right. So, but is it, it's not, I understand that it's.
We'll have to get the specifics from utilities. I don't know the specifics of the 500,000.
Okay. So Mark, can you just email that maybe to all of us when you find that out? Thank you.
I sure can. I apologize for not having that information. Okay. Are there any further questions as to the current capital projects or any unfunded projects?
None for me.
Unbudgeted, not unfunded. Okay, there's no action items. Now we have a presentation, 2019 Urban Water Management Plan by WSC. We also have Laura Holder, who's our program manager. She's been working on that with WSC. So I'd first like to introduce Dan Heimel, an engineer for WSC Water Systems. Water Systems Consulting has been really spearheading this effort. And now I got to figure out how I'm going to give Dan. Well, I guess we have the presentation toward the bottom. So I don't know, Dan. Are you there, Dan?
I am. Yeah. Thank you, Mark. If I could have the power to present, I can do that, or we could go through the PDF.
I'm going to make you presenter. See how that works.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, members of the advisory committee. It's my pleasure to be here today to present the draft 2020 Urban Water Management for Flood Control, San Luis Obispo Flood Control and Water Conservation District Zone 3. The draft Urban Water Management Plan was prepared and presented to the TAC last week, and we're happy to bring the draft for the advisory committee's consideration here to you tonight. So can everybody see the slides?
Looks yeah. Good.
So I'll jump into it unless there's some questions. Sounds like we're good. Oh, twitchy. All right. So yep.
This is Varg. Can you back up just like 1 second and say, just tell me this urban water management plan is mandated, it's has to be done, and is there a timeline, deadline? And then who's paying for this? The county?
Yeah, good questions. The Urban Water Management Plan is a California Department of Water Resources required planning document, and they are required to be completed every 5 years. So the District Zone 3 completed, the last Urban Water Management Plan was completed in 2015. This represents the five-year update for 2020 compliance. And this project was funded by Flood Control and Water Conservation District Zone 3. And it covers the operations of the Lopez project.
And Dan, did you guys do the last one?
WSC did not do the last one. I believe the last one was completed by Wallace Group.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. So the agenda for my presentation today is, first I'll start off a little bit about what is a UWMP or an urban water management plan. And then I'll cover some of the key sections of the urban water management plan, which include population, demand, supply, and reliability, the water shortage contingency plan, and then the demand management measures. And then I'll be available for questions at the end, but also feel free to jump in with questions as we move through the presentation. So first off, what is an urban water management plan? As we were just discussing, that urban water management plans are required by the California Water Code. They're a Department of Water Resources required planning document. They are required to be updated every 5 years and submitted to DWR. They are intended to support long-term water supply and drought planning. And they require that the participating agencies demonstrate that they have supplies to meet existing and projected demands over a 25-year time horizon. Additionally, they provide a framework for conservation and drought response. And the real stick or carrot, I guess, depending on your perspective, that DWRR has for urban water management plans is they are a prerequisite for certain types of low interest loans and or grant opportunities. So what are the core elements of the urban water management plan? One is just the overall plan preparation itself. DWRR releases a guidebook every 5 years that outlines what needs to be incorporated into the urban water management plan. And some of those key elements are described here. They include water characterization, water demand, water supply, water reliability, your water shortage contingency plan. That's your plan for how you're going to deal with a, you know, a lot of times we think drought when we think water shortage contingency plan, but the reality is it's designed to encompass more than just drought conditions. It can be any type of water shortage. That could be an infrastructure failure. It could be, you know, in the case of your retail agency or one of the NCMA agencies, you know, one or two of your wells going down. Any sort of event that would lead to a water shortage. And then your water shortage contingency plan is your plan for how you're going to deal with that shortage. And then the last component is the demand management measures, which is also another way for saying, you know, water conservation requirements. At its core, the urban water management plan, in addition to all the things that I've described, is also an opportunity for an agency to tell their water story. It's an opportunity for them to describe their water supply, evaluate and describe their anticipated demands, and then be able to demonstrate how their water supply is sufficient to meet those demands under varying conditions. In the case for Zone 3, Zone 3 is a wholesale water utility, and so Zone 3 does not have actual direct control over the demands of the end customers. That falls... really, that authority falls under the Zone 3 contracting agencies. And so the water story, and as you'll see, the water shortage contingency plan in the Zone 3 UWMP is relatively simple compared to what you will see in the UWMPs and water shortage contingencies plans that the individual Zone 3 contractors will prepare, because they have the ability to impose demand management measures or water conservation requirements on their customers as needed to reduce demand during drought or other water shortage conditions. But that all being said, there is a water shortage contingency plan component of the Zone 3 Urban Water Management Plan, which I'll cover. Key component of the Urban Water Management Plan is population. Population is one of the primary factors used to estimate anticipated demand. Though as a wholesale water utility, it doesn't directly apply here, but population estimates are required. And so what we're showing here is current estimates and future estimates of the Zone 3 service area population. These population numbers were calculated by taking the Zone 3 service area boundary, intersecting it with a DWR population tool or GIS data set, and then applying anticipated growth rates for each of the individual communities to those current populations to develop the anticipated future populations for the Zone 3 service area. The next slide provides a summary of the anticipated demands included in the Zone 3 Urban Water Management Plan. Included in here are current demands, as well as future demands. Again, however, given that this is a wholesaler urban water management plan, that the assumptions are pretty simple. The assumptions are that the future demands will basically equal existing contract entitlements for the Zone 3 contracting agencies. You will see that the 2020 demands are higher. This is because these reflect actual amounts of water delivered. And in this year, it incorporated surplus water that was delivered to some of the Zone 3 agencies. You know, PISMO, for example, took more than its entitlement that year because of its ability to take surplus water. But moving forward, the demand projections within the Urban Water Management Plan are assumed to be the Zone 3 entitlements. Hi, Brad. You enjoyed this presentation so much, you came back for another round of it?
Yeah, came back for more. Sorry, I was on another call and it just went on and on. So,
no problem. You've seen it before.
Ron told me we were still slugging it out, so I jumped on. Apologize.
This slide shows the graphical representation of the supply sources for Zone 3. And as this group knows, the supply source for Zone 3 is Lopez Lake. And this is a hydrograph that shows the full history of Lopez Lake. And unfortunately, the story that this graph is showing us is not the best at this point. As you can see, reservoir storage levels have recently dropped, and as this committee knows, below 20,000 acre feet. And are approaching some of the lower levels that have been seen within Lopez Lake. One thing I wish this graph showed, because I always find it interesting, and Jim Gehring always points it out whenever he has a chance, is that the first year that Lopez came in to that after it was built, it filled in 1 year. And in back in, I guess, I thought it was 1969, but maybe it was 1967. And so that it's important to note that Lopez does have the ability to recover rapidly, or at least it did in the past. Unfortunately, we haven't seen that as much recently. We've seen some good years here, in the mid-90s, and then in 2017, we saw a good recovery. But unfortunately, we are in some low reservoir conditions right now. This next slide includes a table of past, current, and projected supply. As you'll notice, it's really very similar to the demand table, again, because this is a wholesale urban water management plan. There's some pretty simplifying assumptions. But for the purposes of the urban water management plan, it's anticipated that the supply moving forward will be equivalent to the existing safe field. And I guess I should average, this is anticipated supply under average year conditions, not necessarily taking into account extended drought conditions. There are some differences to point out. One is that in 2015, actually, you can see that the supply was lower than the projected for. That's because back in 2015, we were in the low reservoir response plan, and there were actual reductions to municipal diversion entitlements and downstream releases in place as part of the low reservoir response plan at that time. In 2020, there was actually more supply than the safe yield, 8730, and that's because of the availability of surplus water shown on this last row here. For the purposes of being conservative, the future supply availability projections, again, are assumed to be the entitlement, which also corresponds with the safe yield of Lopez Reservoir. I would point out that the safe yield is a pretty solid number. It's one that has been vetted at least three times in the last 10 years through various Zone 3 or Lopez efforts. But then again, the safe yield, really typically the methodology is to evaluate historic hydrology and assume that's what we'll see going forward. If we do see varying hydrologic conditions in the future associated with climate change or other impacts, there may be changes in the available supply. The other thing to point out is, as this group knows, is the Habitat Conservation Plan is an ongoing initiative. and does have the potential to impact downstream release requirements and other components of Zone 3 contracts that may impact future supply availability. Water reliability. This is where we start to factor in water reliability during different drought conditions. And one of the requirements of the Urban Water Management Plan is to characterize water reliability under different year types and different extended drought scenarios. So what we have here is a table that outlines the anticipated amount of water available from the Zone 3 of the Lopez Project under these different year types. The first one is an average year, and under average year conditions, it's anticipated that the full entitlements and downstream releases would be available, so 100% of average supply. In a single dry year, it's anticipated that there could be a reduction, especially in a significant single dry year, in the available supply. For example, like we saw in 2015 and 2016, when the reservoir levels were low enough or such to the point that we were in the low reservoir response plan, in which case there was a reduction in available supply in that year. And then consecutive dry years. So what these next five rows look to do is they look to simulate supply availability over an extended drought period. And to develop this, we looked back and found really what is the worst five-year drought period that the Zone 3 project has experienced. And in this case, that was the years, unfortunately, recent years, and many of us all remember, of 2012 through 2016, before the big rain year in 2017. And so we then mimic the supply availability over those 5 years. And so for the first 3 years, there was sufficient water and storage to meet full entitlements and downstream releases. But as we entered the fourth and fifth year of that drought period, the LRRP had to be enacted, and there were entitlement and downstream release reductions associated with that. And so that's really what's anticipated to happen in the future. If we were to enter into another five-year drought, we would anticipate being able to have full entitlements for the first couple of years, but then start to potentially experience reductions in water availability as that drought continued. One of the new requirements, I guess it's not a new requirement, the Water Storage Contingency Plan was a requirement of the 2015 Urban Water Management Plan, but there were new requirements for the Water Storage Contingency Plan in 2020. And some of these new requirements were some additional characterization and the format for the Water Storage Contingency Plan. And so this is just a summary table that outlines some of the different requirements in the 2020 plan for the Water Storage Contingency Plan. But one of the most important one to point out is 8.3, is that DWR requires that the Water Storage Contingency Plan either be structured in six different stages or be structured that it can link to a six-stage plan. And that'll be more clear on this next slide, where we describe the Water Storage Contingency Plan included in the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan. The Water Storage Contingency Plan, it really in the UWMP is based off the Low Reservoir Response Plan, but with some, I would say, structural modifications, and maybe structural is even too strong of a word, but sort of formatting modifications to match DWR's requirements. So if you look at the three columns on the right, I mean, these are the stages that you're familiar with from the Low Reservoir Response Plan. But what DWR has required that we correlate these stages with the six stages of the Water Shortage Contingency Plan that each represent a 10% additional reduction in available supply. And one of the other requirements is that they would like a sixth stage that represents but potentially a greater than 50% reduction in water supply availability. So a pretty severe water shortage condition. And so we were able to link these up to the different stages of the low reservoir response plan and meet DWR's requirements. this table is associated, if you've read through it, is for the municipal diversions. And if you recall, there is also a downstream release component to the low reservoir response plan, where there are reductions in the downstream releases that are prescribed as water levels in the reservoir decline. Just some information about the water shortage contingency plan with respect to the LRRP. I know there's been some discussion about this, I believe, at the advisory committee, but adoption of the water shortage contingency plan along with the urban water management plan does not constitute adoption of the low reservoir response plan. The low reservoir response plan still has its own requirements for adoption that are separate from the water shortage contingency plan. The water shortage contingency plan included in the proposed Zone 3 UWMP is a plan to prepare and respond to water shortage contingencies. It incorporates parts of the LRRP, as I described. And then outlined over here are just some of the steps for the adoption of the LRRP, or of the water shortage contingency plan. And then finally, we just have a slide on demand management measures, again, or water shortage measures, or sorry, water conservation measures is another descriptor for it. Again, as I described previously, as a wholesale urban water management plan, a lot of the levers that a retail water agency would have to help reduce demand, they're not available to the wholesale agency. But there still are measures that can be taken to improve water supply reduce demand or preserve water. So one is metering, and there was recent meter replacement and or upgrades within the Zone 3 system. Additionally included is public outreach and education. There are water conservation billboards that are set up throughout the Zone 3 service area. The district maintains a water conservation program and staffing support, and the water has a water conservation coordinator, who Laura is here with us today. And also, the district supports other demand management measures, such as residential plumbing retrofits or water surveys administered by the contracting agencies. And that concludes my presentation on the draft Zone 3 2020 Urban Water Management Plan. And if I could figure out how to stop sharing, I would do that. No, not leave meeting. There we go.
All right, I'm back. Thank you, Dan. Appreciate that presentation. Any questions for Dan?
No, thank you for that presentation, Dan. It's pretty clear and concise. Love that. Lots of practice, I know. So that's and glad that Brad could be here for a second reading. That's awesome.
Hey, yeah, welcome, Brad.
Hey, Mark. Dan, remind me again, it's out for a comment hour draft, and what's the timing for submittal? You probably mentioned that, but I missed it.
Yeah, I don't think we covered that. I don't know that we have a hard comment submittal date. I think where we advised the TAC, we had said a couple of weeks, but maybe it might be helpful to give a defined date. I don't know, Laura, have you guys had any additional internal discussion on a date for comments submittal? Is that what you're referring to, Brad? Comments?
Well, comments, and then what's the deadline for submittal in general for these urban water management plans?
So the due date, the expected due date, is to be adopted by July 1st of this year. But we're planning on going to the board in July and get it adopted hopefully if we can get the comments back within, you know, a couple weeks, then we would most likely be able to make the July board date.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you, Laura. Just getting back to, I just wanted to go back to the capital projects update. I know, Kristen, you had some questions on the $500,000. I did some quick research. That $89,000 that we have for this current fiscal year, 2021, was set to develop scope for the effort of this DSOD requirement. So as Sherry mentioned in her finance presentation earlier, those $500,000 from O&M reserves was going to be used for this effort in the next fiscal year. So we're looking at $300,000 for physical testing, and $200,000 of that was going to be for an alternative study for the decommissioning of the terminal reservoir. So I think that's where the design RFP comes into play potentially. So that's what I had in our notes. If you'd still like, we could send you some more information on that. That'd be helpful.
So for the item that's on the agenda, I mean, for the under the project updates, is it like $589,000 for all of those for the geotechnical testing and the design, or is the $500,000 sounds like it might be for the testing, but something different with the decommissioning? So I'm just trying to kind of get a sense of the 589, even though some of it's out of the reserves, covers what, I guess. And you, if you, you don't worry, if you don't have it, it's not a big deal to just email me. I'm going to report out to council on Tuesday, so it's fine.
Yeah, it was $89,000 for this current budget, 2021, as it shows on the screen here. And then the $500,000 was for the next phase of that, where the physical testing was going to require $300,000 is what we estimated, and $200,000 for an alternative study on what to do for the decommissioning of the terminal reservoir. So if that comes to that, based on the geotechnical testing.
So it sounds like that's all under that same heading.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. So it'll be a total of $589,000.
Okay. Split because of the budget year, and also because some of it's coming out of the reserves.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. And we can still, if you still have questions, we can provide you something more formal. So. All right. Any future agenda items? We're about to end here.
Can I go back a second? I had a question for Dan, if he's still there. Are you still there, Dan?
Still here, Vard.
All righty. Hey, is this urban water management plan, is there a template that you guys use? So everybody in the state is doing the exact same thing that the state's looking for?
I wish there was a template. There's a guidebook that kind of outlines what DWR wants to see. There is a consistent structure. There's actually, outline for what each chapter contains and what subsections, and actually, there is actually information on which tables need to be incorporated in the urban water management plan. But the reality is every utility is different, and so it ends up being a relatively or somewhat custom report for each agency.
Somebody at the DWR has to actually read this thing then, or do they only read it if you actually are trying to get a grant or something? You know what I mean? It's a lot of stuff to read. Reading this thing?
Yes, the DWR does review and make determinations on the adequacy of the urban water management plans, and that my understanding, they will do that independent of whether or not you're pursuing grant funding. You might rise to the top of the list if you got your an application in for grant funding in the near term. But yeah, they will make a determination, and if they did identify any deficiencies, we'll request that the agencies address them.
And this has nothing to do with Sigma and being ranked by priority of, you know, how much, what level of drought you're in, or what level of groundwater in your, you know what I mean by that. I'm not sure how, I can't remember what, how they have the different levels in Sigma, but you know what I'm trying to get at, that we're, is it everybody's in the same boat?
Yes, this is not tied to Sigma. Both of those programs are administered by DWR. This is a require for urban water suppliers that provide over 3,000 acre feet per year of water annually, or have more than 3,000 connections. And so zone three is triggered to prepare an urban water management plan because it delivers more than 3,000 acre feet per year of water as an urban water supplier.
All right, thanks, Dan. I had to step out of the last TAC meeting early, so you probably answered some of that stuff twice, but thank you.
No problem.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Dan. Good question, Bard. All right. Are there any more questions? Otherwise, we'll look at future agenda items.
One clarification, we're not asked to take any action. We're just receiving and filing.
Oh, yes.
Right. So,
yeah. Thank you.
You know, so I guess my question, if it's going to the board in July, does this body ever take any action on it? We just note it and move on.
We are, are you talking about the urban water management plan?
Correct.
So, yeah. So we, you know, definitely invite your comments, and it can only enhance the report and make it more accurate. So we're definitely interested in your comments and anything that you can offer. It will be, you know, available publicly, so we want it to be as accurate as possible.
Very good.
I think it was. Okay, any committee member comments? Okay, hearing no comments, then I believe we can adjourn this meeting at 7:24. So I appreciate everybody. Thanks for your patience on this.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for stepping in and doing the heavy lifting.
Thanks, everybody.
All right, thanks, you guys. Have a good evening.
Night, everybody.